It's the third annual Walk as One charity walk that CAP is doing to benefit Bernie's Book Bank. So we're live by the ballpark. Waddle and Sylvia are going to follow us. We're at Cork and Carry in the park. And CAP's going to end back at the park a little bit later today. We'll talk to them in like 40, 45 minutes. We'll check in, see how they're doing. They're about halfway through already, as they started right after the show ended earlier today. Let's talk some Bears and get the latest from Hallis with Courtney Cronin, who does outstanding work covering the Bears for us and for ESPN NFL Nation. She is at Courtney R. Cronin on Twitter. Make sure you follow her to get all the updated news and notes. And she joins us now. Courtney, how you doing?
We're good. It's a nice fall day up here today. It's all beautiful out.
Yeah, fall has arrived. It's very autumnal all of a sudden today. Lucas Patrick had the cast off yesterday. Seems like a good sign. Do we think he could be playing center again soon?
Yeah, it sounds like it's a possibility. We just got done talking to Luke Getsy, and he said that's the plan for him today. He'll continue to snap without the cast on his right thumb. And you would imagine that if he's ready to go and if he's, you know, able to do that for the entirety of a game, which, of course, they hope it's more than 41, 42 snaps on offense, that he'll be able to go back to center, because I think the offensive line needs that sort of continuity that they sought out for when they signed Lucas Patrick. And it's been a matter of getting him reps so he can be at game condition, but actually getting to see how the line changes, maybe how the communication changes. And it's no real slight on Sam Mustipher, but they brought in Lucas Patrick to be their starting center. They paid him quite a bit of money in free agency to do so. So it'd be good if they're able to get him to that position so then they can let Tevin Jenkins just focus on being the right guard the entire game and not having to, you know, work with this rotation that they're using.
That's what I was going to ask you. So does that end? I mean, they're not going to start some other rotation in there with him, are they? This is Tevin Jenkins' job then once Lucas Patrick is back over at center?
I would imagine so, because unless you're going to then start rotating Sam Mustipher in at that spot, like I think at some point you can use the training wheels to get your guard who's never played guard in like real NFL games up to speed. But at some point you got to let him go. So I would imagine that when Lucas Patrick goes back to center, whenever that is, that Tevin Jenkins will stay at right guard, because he's done certainly as a run blocker, has done really well at that position. And I think he's still growing within learning how to play inside, where, you know, things happen at a different speed versus what they did outside. And as Luke Getsy has told us, the mental responsibility is kind of all the things that you need to know about that position. They stress their guards more mentally in this system than maybe some others. Like, he's still learning those things. So it's coming with time, but I don't think that it would do him any service to continue to rotate him, especially using somebody else after Lucas Patrick goes back to playing center.
Makes sense.
The most disappointing thing about this defense has been the run defense.
Yes.
Their ability to play the run has been absolutely brutal. People want to go ahead and blame the tackling. I don't know if I necessarily buy that, but how do they get better with the run defense to put themselves in positive yardage situations so they can defend properly?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does start with the tackling. I know that just seems kind of like a cliche answer, but when you have that many missed tackles, you're allowing drives to be extended. You're not getting off the field on third down, and that's a problem. So, you know, it starts with that, but I think it's also Roquan Smith has to play better. He didn't have a great game this past Sunday, and, you know, coming off his game against San Francisco, he's still learning a new role. I asked Alan Williams about it today, because when he's in nickel, he's been playing that middle backer role. When he's in base, he's playing the Sam role. So I think there's just a lot, even though Alan Williams said it's not different positions, technically he's doing kind of the same things, just in different, whenever they're in different, you know, sub packages or base defense. But I think he's still coming along at that position. So of course, you know, it's making sure that, you know, all the cliche stuff you hear, the alignments, the assignments, all that stuff, you have to be on top of that. But run defense-wise, I mean, some of that starts up front with your three technique. Some of that starts up with those guys eating up the gaps and trying to, you know, stuff the run, so then your linebackers have an easier job. Because in this defense, your linebackers are playing, like someone like Roquan Smith playing off the shoulders of the three technique and trying to figure out what that person's doing or what the nose is doing in order to know which gap they're responsible for and what they're responsible for on a specific run play. So I think it's that. And I also, too, one thing I noticed a lot of, you have young guys like Kyler Gordon biting a lot on play action against Green Bay. So you know, not getting faked out by what you think is a run play is probably a part of it too. And I think that that comes with experience, but there's going to be some growing pains associated with that.
Should get back to Kyler Gordon in a second too. You're not kidding, guys, about the Bears' issues with the rush D. And while they had a good overall ranking last year in the much bigger sample in terms of where they finished defensively in DVOA, they were still 24th in rush DVOA last year. They've fallen to 27th through the first two games of this season. And just in terms of raw numbers, they've allowed more rushing yards than any team in the NFL through 2 weeks. So it is a problem that's got to get cleaned up. A couple things, I guess, to expand on what we were just talking about, Courtney. First, Roquan's hip. No practice yesterday. Like, how serious or significant is that?
Yeah, we'll see, because he, you know, practice is coming up here in about 20 minutes. And if he doesn't practice today, I think that probably puts him in jeopardy of not playing on Sunday. And, you know, Damian Pierce is a young running back, but like, it's just a matter of like, they've got, you know, young running backs that they're facing here soon and good ones in Saquon Barkley and Dalvin Cook in a couple of weeks. So you hope whatever it is with Roquan Smith that he's able to either, you know, work through it quickly or won't have to miss that much time. But yeah, it was kind of a surprise to see him pop up on the injury report because he didn't leave the game on Sunday. There was no noticeable injury. I saw him in the locker room. He left without talking to reporters, but he didn't look injured. So I don't know if that was something that popped up in the game afterwards, and then he, you know, comes in on Monday and, you know, is sore and isn't able to practice. But that is something to certainly monitor. That was probably the biggest name that we saw on the injury report yesterday, aside from Velus Jones continuing to be absent.
Yeah, that's another. My gosh, the Velus Jones. Ooh. All right, Kyler Gordon, because I thought you made a good point about it. Is it just totally chalked up to young kid? Hasn't played a whole heck of a lot yet. Missed some time in training camp. I mean, it hasn't looked good. Sunday really didn't look good for most of the game for Kyler Gordon in pass, you know, whether he was in coverage or whether he was trying to make plays in the run game.
Yeah, and I thought back on it because in 2018, like when I was covering Minnesota, Mike Hughes, who was their top draft pick in the first round, like was just got absolutely eaten alive in his first couple of games. And we expect when we hear such buzz about these young cornerbacks, oh my God, he's so smart. He can play the nickel. He did it in college. Wow. He's doing it right away in the NFL. And then you have your come to Jesus moment when you actually get thrown into the fire. And starting out the season against Aaron Rodgers week two, there's no real worse situation for you if you are a young corner, because you know that he's going to test you every single chance that he gets. And I remember talking with Kyler in the locker room in Lambeau, and he's like, yeah, I expected that, and it's probably going to be the exact same way second time we play this season, and he'll be prepared for it. But yeah, I mean, it's always jarring when you see a guy get beat, but like, you know, like, this is Aaron Rodgers' MO. He's going to go after young corners. I think on the other side of that, though, what is kind of interesting but probably more expected, because you do have young corners in the secondary and first-year players, like a guy like, you know, first-year starter like Kendall Vindor, like Jalen Johnson has very rarely at all been targeted. And yeah, so that, I think, is a byproduct of the guys that he's playing with in secondary. But this is not really a defense, as we just heard from Alan Williams. Like, they're not – they like to play sides. They're not a group that's going to have necessarily you know, somebody go shadow a number one receiver. And I think that's kind of what you have to do with a group that is still this young and inexperienced and trying to find their way. But the experience that a young corner like Kyler Gordon will get over time, I anticipate, like, it's way too early to give up on him just because of what happened against Aaron Rodgers. Was it pretty? No, but like, honestly, what else do you expect?
Yeah. It's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, this offense has to drop back more than 15 times. I mean, it's just,
In the modern day NFL, you've got to throw to win.
Yeah, and I mean, at the very least, they've got to start to see, like, is he getting it? I can't buy, you know, what's best in the game, what's best going to help us. But this is a rebuild. This is the developmental. This is, let's see if Justin Fields can get it or if we have to start over again. They just can't. You can't drop back 15 or 20 times a game and expect to know anything about this offense, can you, Courtney?
Correct. And there is some context within there, though. I mean, when you only run 41 plays, and their balance was, there was kind of a split balance. So 27 rushes, and they had 19 called passes, three of which resulted in sacks. There was the illegal pass that Fields was flagged for. I think that there was something else too. So that's why he had 11 attempts. Of course, you don't want that, but technically speaking, I mean, that's the balance. Like, if you're just looking at the numbers based on what was actually called, not what was executed, they were trying. And even today, Luke Getsy was, you know, reiterating that the touchdown was a pass play, but Fields took off and ran. The play before the 4th-and-1 where Fields dove for the pylon, that was a pass play. So I wonder, within all of that, and this is probably the wrong term, but trying to get your quarterback out of playing hero ball after if he's bailing too early on a read, because if those are designed pass plays, why didn't they work out? What can they find out in getting to the root of those so those can actually get executed and it doesn't just fall on the quarterback to try to run in and go wide when he doesn't see something develop downfield?
Bayless Jones, you mentioned it. How worried are the Bears? How worried should we all be? That Sylvie made a good point yesterday. You know, we've seen it far too often, especially with the young guys. A few games can turn into a lot longer and sometimes an entire season. And, like, what is the story with Bayless Jones?
Yeah, I mean, soft tissue injuries are a problem for a reason. And I remember when I was talking to him last week, he said that this is something he really wants to get under control so it doesn't flare up again, because he clearly had a setback. When he went back to practice, I believe it was last Wednesday, was then on the bike Thursday and Friday. Like, these are hard injuries. And let's not forget, he is 25 years old. I'm not calling him ancient by any stretch, but he's a 25-year-old rookie who has more mileage on his body than a 21-year-old coming in here, somebody who's played less football, considering how long his college career was. The one element that's really missing from this offense is speed.
Yeah.
And if they don't get him back, I don't know where you're going to replicate that or where you're going to get it from. We know that that's not part of it with Cole Kmet. I mean, the yards after the catch, and he doesn't have great straight line speed. That's not his strength. You can find other ways to manufacture yards with him, like, you know, more than two targets, but not relying on guys like that for straight, you know, for the speed element, especially. I mean, Darnell Mooney doesn't have great top end speed. They drafted Bayless Jones for a reason,
right?
Because he has 4.3 speed. They just haven't been able to get him out there. So I think today will be telling, just kind of like the Roquan thing. If he's not practicing today, I highly doubt it, that they're going to end up pushing him, because you risk re-injuring that thing and you could be out for the entire season. So you have to approach it in a very cautious way and make sure that you're not pushing it too much.
A couple key things to watch for today. Follow Courtney on Twitter at Courtney R. Cronin. Get the latest on Roquan. See if he's back on the practice field after missing yesterday. Courtney, great work as always. Thanks. We'll catch up next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
We'll see ya. There's Courtney. 312-332-3776. If you got a Bears thought, you want to jump in, anything really, say hi, talk White Sox. We had a lot of White Sox calls yesterday. Sox fans were so upset, down, and disappointed. And then last night was really, really deflating. So ring us up.
They're down 2-0 early, Carl.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We are live in more unearned runs. It was just ugly. We are live and pretty punchless offensively. You know how many strikeouts Tristan McKenzie has in his last two starts against the White Sox?
I'm going to say 16.
27.
Wow. I was being nice.
27.
I was being nice, Carm.
14 and 13.
Wow.
In his last two starts against the White Sox.
He'd love
Ouch.
To pitch against the White Sox every week.
And that man in Cleveland is just eating their lunch all season. We're live at Cork and Carry in the Park. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back. We're live at Cork and Carry in the Park. We're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. The guys are already here. We look forward to that at 2 o'clock. They're going to do the show live. Cap's going to finish the walk, raising funds for Bernie's Book Bank up north. He's going to finish the walk just a little south of us at Guaranteed Rate. Final game between the Sox and the Guardians a little bit later tonight here in your home for White Sox baseball. Jesse's actually going to do pre and post. Connor's going to be on TV. Catch Len and DJ right here, starting with a 7:10 first pitch. I'm going to be with Ozzy at the game. Maybe I'll have some good stories.
Nice, yeah.
Later tonight, so I'm sticking around, going to the game later. It'll be my last baseball game of the year, sadly. Nice JD sweatshirt. Way to represent.
Yeah, looks sharp.
I like it.
Looks sharp.
I like it.
Walked in with his own headphones, too.
He's got
like
his own
that.
Headphones and everything.
Yeah.
Mo, that's right. That's
Mo.
What's
up, Mo?
Mo, I didn't recognize you without the hat.
Well, it's the glasses, guys.
I love that
it's
hat.
Glasses,
what up, Mo?
Hey,
way
thank
to support
you.
JD, too, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you.
And today we're supporting
that.
Bernie's Book Bank. So make a donation. Go to berniesbookbank.org. I mean, there's so many ways. Like, I put a link on my Instagram story if you want to go there. Everybody that donates right now, all the donations that are rolling in during our show, Aurelio's is going to match the gifts made during the show all the way up to $10,000. That is just awesome, of Joe and the Aurelio family and everybody at Aurelio's. So thank you so much. Aurelio's, of course, was established in 1959, continues to be Chicago's family pizzeria.
It's in the sauce.
Tell them Joe sent you. It's in the sauce. Merkin's favorite,
in the
of course.
Sauce.
Merk grew up down
we
there.
We got to give that to one of our
Moe's giving 100. Look at you.
Moe's giving 100. Somebody's got to collect this.
Somebody collect Moe's 100.
Moe, I take your 100, but it goes straight in my pocket.
Moe,
so we gotta
we'll
find
figure out what to do.
That.
That's
we'll
a mensch
yeah.
move, Moe.
Yeah.
It's a mensch move. Moe's talking about York's rubber band.
Oh, yeah.
All right, did you see the numbers? Merck sent this to me. Let me find it in my text chain. Hold on.
You got it in there somewhere.
Merck sent the numbers. They finally have numbers. It took a week to get the Charger Chiefs
right,
numbers.
Right, yeah, for the Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Amazon
so
Prime. We're asking
first
for the numbers.
Chiefs Chargers Thursday Night Football ends up with 13 million viewers on Prime Video in week two. That's U.S. audience only. I think they have 200 million Amazon Prime subscribers around the world. 200 million. I think that's right. 13 million viewers, U.S. only. Above 12.5 million average that Amazon gave its advertisers. The first Thursday night game on Fox NFL in 2021, Rams-Seahawks averaged 14.8 million viewers. So I guess the numbers are good. Merck also sent something else where they were bragging, or not bragging, but just they were very happy with the young audience, like the 18 to 34 crowd and all that, Yurko. Thursday Night Football on Prime delivered an audience 6 years younger than the NFL linear audience through week two of the 2022 season. Boy, there's a lot of numbers in here. 4.25 rating in adults 18 to 34, 18% higher than any other NFL telecast this season in that demo. So they were very happy, I guess, with the young audience, which makes sense. People who stream. But what took so long to get the numbers?
Well, that's the problem. So they guaranteed advertisers and everybody 12.5 million, and people were startled at the number they thought they were going to give them. Now, with a company that gets information instantaneously, we wait here a miraculous 7 days to find out exactly what the numbers are. From Amazon Prime to Nielsen.
Is that on Nielsen?
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, the numbers are controlled by Amazon Prime. They're not controlled by Nielsen.
So then what's Nielsen doing?
Well, Nielsen, they need somebody to rubber stamp and give the credibility to Amazon Prime is what you're looking for. So they promised 12.5. They miraculously come up with the number 13 million.
Baker's dozen.
Hey, look at what we did. Wow. If they actually had 13 million, you would have found out about 13 million on Friday. If they had 13 million, you would have known about 13 million
on Friday.
What could
have taken so long? Like, it's a streaming
what
number.
What took
don't
so
we?
Long is how do we make this happen? Hmm. How do we go about the business of fabricating the number to make it look like it's what we promised? And that's what they did.
Happening,
yeah,
Yurko.
That's what they did. They went about that business. So, you know, Amazon Prime customers are there for what? A number of different things. They're there shopping. Amazon Prime video, right?
We have something every day that comes to our house from Amazon.
Right. Yes. That's what my point is. Yes. That's what people are there for.
Yes.
This is relatively new.
Relatively
watch
new.
Live NFL football on Amazon Prime.
I can't wait to see. I don't know if it'll take another week. What's the dip? Because you're coming off Chargers, Chiefs. Yeah. Now you're going to Steelers, Browns. I mean, you got the Steelers. They have a huge fan
right.
base, obviously.
I think there's also a reason they did it the way they did. They're coming out with the numbers saying, hey, look what we did. Look how popular it is. Look how great it is on the day that you're going to have the dud game.
Hmm.
The Rust Belt game. That's where you're going.
I don't
Cleveland
know.
And Pittsburgh.
All right, but wait.
Yeah, you're going
fairness.
To the Rust Belt game, and you're going to pray to the heavens that you can replicate that number.
This is still football, as you always
it
say.
It is still football,
it's still
yeah.
the Steelers.
Right.
I mean, even though Mitch Trubisky is their quarterback, it's still the Steelers.
As much as the new technology is coming out here and everything that you see and it's out here and it's streaming, streaming's not that difficult. You just got to buy Amazon Prime. You got to put it on your TV. It's a smart TV. You go to it, you put your code in, and boom, you've got it. You're
yes.
still watching it on your TV.
Yes, you are.
You're just streaming
I watched
it for someplace else.
My 80-inch television last
do,
week.
Do you know how many guys I still hear? They're saying, hey, when you get reach me at this at AOL.com.
Waddle.
You've got mail. Chauncey.
Chauncey?
Okay, Chauncey. Still Chauncey. At AOL.com. I listened on Saturday morning.
Come on, Chauncey.
Chauncey at AOL.com. Never going to change. Still paying $9.99 for AOL. Is AOL even a company, or did somebody buy it?
No,
and just
somebody
never changed
bought
it.
I think, yeah.
Somebody bought them and never changed it because they're still getting a revenue from all those 50-plus that sit there with AOL.com when you first started out.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you. Harm, slow to switch. They're always slow to switch. And my point is the AOL.com. There's still people with MySpace pages, okay?
That's ridiculous.
They're still there. What's the other one that disappeared? Netscape.
Netscape.
Yeah, remember Netscape? Well, we had talked about AOL. Netscape. Remember Netscape?
Long gone, of
course. Well, that's my point. But there's still a guy over there looking up Netscape trying to figure out. I'm telling you, it's slow to change. It's going to take time. It's not going to happen week to week. It'll happen year to year for it to get better there. They've got a 10-year commitment with the NFL.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere.
I think they like the young viewers.
If you're going to watch Thursday Night Football, guess what you have to do?
You have to stream it.
You're going to have to find a way to stream it. And
unless
like
it's your team. If it's your market, it's broadcast.
I go to the local pubs.
Right.
Right? So how much of it was the broadcast markets? Of that final number, how much of it was the two individual broadcast
markets?
That would
be interesting
markets?
To see. Like, right. What was the broadcast
So what was
number?
Actual on Amazon Prime? It was on the local.
Yeah, I wonder, like, what the broadcast number in Kansas City looked like.
There's always ways to punch holes in this thing.
Yeah.
And without the explanation, without them telling you what you... They highlighted a couple of things they saw. Remember when ESPN Radio 1000 was number one in all people or women 6+ on Saturday mornings?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Somebody was driving with their daughter going to something, like a sporting event on Saturday mornings. She listened and she had it on her, and boom, that's how we were number one, like 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
I don't even remember.
The craziest thing in the world. Well, you can point one thing out and say, well, take a look at this number, and it's true, and it's a number, but it's not indicative of the overall thing.
All right.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, as Yurko is always the one to
check. I just like to blow holes in this type of stuff because they come out with this in the 11th hour right before the thing. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Convenient it was today.
You didn't release it in a timely manner. Now we're going to have to gauge it all year to see exactly where it's going.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of stunning that it took as long as it did. These are streaming numbers. This should be easy. We can look right away at all of our streaming numbers.
Instantaneous.
Yeah,
instantaneous.
Let's, you know who's on the line. It's time for his picks. It's time for Paulie's picks. Paulie Cheesecake, who you had the Bears last. You didn't do so well last week, Paulie. What'd you give us?
But at least my Dolphins kicked one. At least my Dolphins won.
All right, your Dolphins did win. Did you give us the Dolphins last week? I'm trying to remember.
Yes, of course. Listen.
What were your picks? It was Dolphins, they at Bears, and then what was your third pick? Did you have a winning week?
I lost. But Dallas beat Cincinnati.
So you went 1-2. You went 1-2.
Yes.
All right. It's now you're going to get Paulie's picks. He's going to give us three picks. 1-2 is not terrible.
No.
At least there was one winner in there.
All right. Yeah. Not terrible.
What
Paulie.
Do we, first of all, are you off of work today? Let me just ask. Have you?
Definitely.
Definitely. Okay. So you're enjoying a day off. You've done your handicapping. You've done your work. You're not distracted by work at the, what's the name of the place again?
It's called Stop and Shop.
Stop and Shop. That's right.
Yeah.
Paulie is not being distracted by his normal duties at Stop and Shop. Paulie is relocated to the East Coast. I don't know if people are aware. Paulie Cheesecake
is in Jersey.
He's in Jersey now.
Yes.
He is there at the Stop and Shop. If you're ever in Jersey,
stop on in and order some more to Dell. Yes.
Make sure you go see Paulie.
In Flemington.
In Flemington, of all places.
Yeah.
What are Paulie's picks for this week?
Okay, I'm picking the Monday night game. I want Dallas over New York.
I'm going to write these down. I got
Dallas over New York.
Dallas, you want Dallas plus the points
the
against
spread,
New York?
Yeah. One.
Yes. Okay, Dallas Dallas plus the points in the Monday nighter.
27-17.
That's what you're going
All right,
with. Okay,
it's 2.5 points. Spread,
I'm going to go Dallas plus one. I'm going to just get the latest
plus
line.
Plus one.
Yes. Dallas plus one.
All right.
I want the Bears will beat the Texans 24-14.
Okay, so you're going to go Bears minus 2.5. You got to stop picking the Bears, I think, but okay.
And then I'm taking Miami over Buffalo 38-35.
Miami is you're going to take Miami plus the 5. I think they're getting about 5.5 right
five.
Now.
5. I got them at 5.
You got them at 5.
What are you going to give them the chair? What are you, Santa Claus?
Let me see the latest.
What's going on?
I'm looking at the updated line right now. It's got them at 5.5.
This is an updated line right here. What are you saying? This is faulty, what I'm looking at?
I'm going to go with the line I have in front of me.
You're going with the ESPN line. You're going with the ESPN line.
I have ESPN up right now, and they do a pretty good job of keeping the lines updated. I could also check the points bet line, but I have
ESPN.com. When you ask me questions, where do I get my lines from? That's where I'm getting my lines from.
The cover 5? I wonder if they're locking those in too early.
I don't know, but that's my point here. So none of this chicanery on your part going to me on Monday. Oh, where the hell did you get the lines from?
Well, I'm blocking in the same lines on cover five that you
well,
are.
Well, I am too, but my point is you said, where am I getting the lines from?
When did I say that?
Last week when you were lambasting.
Oh, well, yeah,
there.
Your Carolina line was way off.
Well, that's what you're telling me, but that's what gave me the initial line.
Yeah, I was way off. That line was off.
That's why you didn't see a Yurko's dozen last week. All right, Paulie, good luck.
Paulie, all the best, yeah. And we're going to keep track every week, Paulie's picks. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, sounds good. Okay,
yeah, pal. Right. Good luck there, Paul. Gee. Paulie, she's
did we good. Remember to call Paulie or did Paulie call
Paulie
us?
Paulie called us.
He called in, Carm.
Paulie knows what time
Paulie
he's
doesn't
on.
Miss a beat, man. I'm telling
That's
you.
That's why I didn't give out a Yurko's dozen. Sterkowitz, how are
you? Well, but you can
listen.
I
don't put it out because I use the lines
everywhere.
And then you're yelling at me there about the lines I use.
There are lines everywhere. Get the
I'm
latest
not
lines Sunday morning.
My life's too short to be screamed at on a Monday morning.
We didn't scream at you. We said, where did you get your lines?
Carm,
that's what we said.
Carm, maybe you don't know how heated it gets in there.
I don't.
That Monday morning meeting, when everybody's full of testosterone from the weekend, college football Saturday, NFL Sunday, everybody comes in. You either got beat up or you felt great
we
about
got a break.
Yourself.
We're way late.
You're number 12, Carm, all time on the cover five right now.
I am. I'm 12th place right now. Yeah, but I think you're exaggerating.
I just
all we said was, I don't know where you got your line, but it wasn't 2.5.
You're yelling at me, Carm.
This is like the scene in Casino. Yeah. It says, what was the line on the Bear game? I don't know where you're getting your lines.
It's my feelings, Carm. It's not your feelings.
Nobody yelled at you.
You can't feel the way I feel.
We got a break.
I can feel
we're way
way
late. Todd, we're going to truncate Furman. This is not good. I didn't
you hurt my feelings.
This is why being out on remote sometimes. We need a clock. Bring us
we
a
do.
Clock.
We need a digital clock. We need a digital clock.
I need a countdown clock. I'm not
disciplined
enough. You
pointed at a computer on the bottom.
No, I'm not disciplined enough. I need a countdown clock.
Back to Twitch. There we are. I look handsome. You not so much.
Coming up next, Todd Furman is live in Vegas with all the latest. We're live at Court and Carry in the Park. White Sox wrap the series. Oh, it's been such a disappointing week against the Guardians tonight. Connor just stopped by, too. Connor McKnight's here. He's going to be on TV with Benetti tonight. So Jesse will handle pre and post. And Len and DJ at first pitch a little bit after 7 here on your home for White Sox baseball. We'll cross talk with Waddle and Sylvie in 30. Time right now to go to Vegas and talk to our man Todd Furman, who joins us every Thursday. He's truly one of the best in the business. Do not miss his podcast with Payne Insider, the Bet the Board podcast. Get it wherever you get your pods. Follow him on Twitter. He is at Todd Furman, and he joins us now. Todd, how are you?
I'm doing very well this morning. Gentlemen, you know, I don't like to troll Chicago fan bases, but I have to ask a question. I say it dead seriously. If I gave you an option to pick the Bears, the Cubs, or the White Sox, which one of those teams wins a playoff game first?
I would say, God, that's a great question.
Say it again.
Who, Bears, Cubs, or White Sox, which franchise wins a playoff game first?
You could throw the Blackhawks in there, too, and that'd be a mystery.
No, but I would say, God, you're putting me to it. I'm going to say White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I would make the Sox a slight favorite, but, man, how about such a discouraging season? I mean, it was a team I was high on coming into this year. We know there'll be a managerial change, or at least there should be. Yeah. And you look at some of those young prospects that haven't materialized. And, York, I couldn't throw the Blackhawks in there. We know that's at least a 3 to 5 year rebuild. Yeah. And they're tanking for Bedard at this point. They, at least, for me, feel like they have a game plan in place going forward that they know it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I'll offer you this, that there won't be a winning year until 2024. There won't be a chance for that to happen until 2024.
For the Hawks, you mean?
No.
Oh, no, because the Sox could bounce back and win
please,
next year.
Their window is
I wouldn't say that.
Their window is over.
I think the Sox could bounce back.
Throw the baby out with the bathwater, guys. This thing is done.
But I think Todd's right. You'd set the Sox as a favorite because you'd think that they could fix some things and be in the playoffs next year.
The
Cubs won't be this year.
The Cubs are closer than the Sox are.
I know. That's
right. They're on the way down. The Cubs are on the way up.
You're not truly handicapped.
Yep.
You're just being.
I am not.
Oh, stop.
I'm being as honest as I can. I'm being frank with you.
That is not true.
Frank Drebin.
Don't be frank. Be your
Frank Drebin, yes, I'll be your call.
Well, listen, this is one of two games. If you looked at when the look-aheads came out over the summer, this is one of two games in which the Bears were favorites. This one at home and the Lions game at home. They are a 2.5-point favorite. And as you have explained before, you know, Vegas has sort of adjusted in over the years and sort of what used to be just that 3-point. You know, it used to be a field goal, right? The old wisdom was, well, if everything's equal, Todd, the home team gets a field goal. Vegas has adjusted as road teams have gotten better and have closed the gap in recent years. So that's what we're looking at. Bears minus 2.5, another very low total because you look at these two offenses and the games they played last week, and there was very little in either of the games these two teams played. Total is only 4.5. Should the Bears be a favorite, and do you like them as a favorite at all this weekend?
I don't like the Bears as a favorite here. It's not a game that I'm going to get involved in. If it got to a 3-flat, and I think we may see that because there is a little bit of public support for the Bears, I might make a value bet on the Texans because I make the Bears a 1-point favorite on a neutral. I don't give them a ton of value for Soldier Field, and we know how important 3 is into the equation as a handicapper. But you mentioned some of the struggles offensively, and the Houston Texans' offensive ineptitude is rather staggering. Last week marked the 6th game with 0 touchdowns for the Texans as a franchise over the last 2 seasons. That's 3 more than any other team that's out there. Wow. You dig into Davis Mills, his home road splits. There is a huge dichotomy there, how much better he plays in his own building. The one positive for the Texans, Damian Pierce showed he is going to be the lead back, carried the ball 15 times for 69 yards. And with me for the Bears, I don't think they're as good as the result indicated against San Francisco. I don't think they'll struggle as much as what we saw last weekend against the Packers. The truth lies somewhere in the middle. But until I see this offense start to get things going, I see more confidence in the coaching staff and Justin Fields and his ability to even throw the ball downfield and get Darnell Mooney involved, I can't comfortably advocate for laying points expecting the Bears to win a football game going away unless their defense creates a short field or two.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it about Damian Pierce. I went back and watched the Bronco-Texan game. That was like the one positive takeaway, maybe the biggest takeaway from either side. I mean, Cortland Sutton had a big game. We know he's good, but Pierce looked really good. Todd Furman's our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
At Cleveland tonight, Pittsburgh stretched out to 5.5 points. Mitch Trubisky has been given an edict. Let's get the ball downfield. Let's try to make plays. Is that enough to make Pittsburgh a live dog tonight?
So we can start with the line movement that we've seen on this game here. Cleveland actually opened a field goal favorite. Number got as high as 5.5, and that's where there was a very different school of thought from some professional bettors. And it's why we're sitting at 4 right now. The total has experienced one-way traffic. 40.5 at the top, down to 38. Should be some windy conditions, as we've grown accustomed to in Cleveland Browns home games. And since I know Carm is the trends guy out of the three of us here, I felt I had to come properly equipped as it pertains to Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin, I know where you're going. I love it.
43-23-2 against the spread as an underdog in all games. That's a 65% success rate. Those numbers get even better when you look at the division. 19-6-2 against the spread as a divisional underdog. And when Tomlin's teams are catching more than a field goal in those games, 13-3-2 for an 81% strike rate. On the flip side, Kevin Stefanski, well, he's been the worst when it comes to divisional ATS in the National Football League. 1-11 against the spread the last 12 games for the Browns. That's not enough in and of itself to make a case for the Steelers, but there's no way I'm betting Cleveland at more than a field goal. I will say, if you're looking to shop around for a prop bet, if you can find a pretty reasonable over-under on Mitchell Trubisky rushing yards in that 12-13 range, that's probably worth a beer bet at the bar if you're going to be watching this game.
I think I can make a case for the Dolphins as a home. There's a lot of intra-division home dogs this week, by the way. A lot of home dogs again. We're just seeing more and more of that. But the Dolphins catching 5.5 in what should be maybe the game of the day against the Bills. I mean, like, short week for the Bills. They got to travel down to Miami. I want to make a case for Miami, but at the same time, Todd, I feel like stepping in front of the Bills right now is stepping in front of a freight train. What do you think of Bills and Dolphins?
Well, I definitely think the Dolphins can be live in this spot. Now, I'm hoping that the number climbs a little bit. We did see it get to 6, and that's kind of been the resistance point so far. I was optimistic that it was going to climb a touch higher, given what we've seen from the recent series history, but it hasn't arrived yet. When you look at the way these teams have played one another, the Bills have now won 7 straight against Miami. 6 of those 7 games have been by 10-plus points. They're 4-2-1 against the number in those 7 meetings. And you dig into some of the numbers, Josh Allen has absolutely carved up Josh Boyer's defense. 19 touchdowns to just 3 picks. The Bills averaging nearly 37 points per game to 17 for the Dolphins. They've protected the football. And to your point, Carm, when you look at this Bills team so far, plus 55 in point differential, it's the best in the NFL. It's actually the second best through 2 games in franchise history. But it comes with the caveat for me that the 2 wins the Bills have on their resume, I don't think are going to look nearly as good as the season progresses, whether it's a season opener against the Rams or a Titans team that's clearly trying to figure out what their identity is going to be going forward. The other wrinkle here is that the Dolphins are going to roll out the red carpet in terms of hospitality. They're going to let the Buffalo Bills wear their home dark blue jerseys in 88-degree weather and heat and humidity. So that's another home field advantage that'll work in Miami's favor. To your point, having extra time to prepare, the Bills finish late late Monday night. They'll spend a day traveling. I think Miami is a live home underdog. I would love an opportunity to buy this game up to 7. Also like it over the total a bit, assuming Mother Nature doesn't get involved.
I like it. And then the game I think that the NFL is circling, can you believe two 40-year-old? Are they both 40? I don't know. Rodgers might not be quite 40 yet, but it's incredible how good they both still are. It's Rodgers and it's Brady in Tampa. The problem is both these offenses, especially Tampa's offense, has issues right now with all the injuries. Tampa's defense has been great. This total is 42. I mean, are we in a spot where it's like that's too low and we got to kind of hit the over here? What do we think about that total in the Packer-Bucks game?
I think the big question with the Bucks injury report isn't who's on it. It's more along the lines of who's not on it, right, as far as their offensive line and wide receivers are concerned. Donovan Smith, of course, is the big one that we're going to want to keep tabs on along that left side of the offensive line. Dealing with a hyperextended elbow, we'll see if his pain threshold allows him to go in this particular spot. But as far as that receiving room, you don't bring in Cole Beasley off the street because you're a model of health. Julio Jones dealing with an injury, Russell Gage, Chris Godwin. We know Mike Evans is suspended, and this is a Bucs offense that is a run-first mentality. We saw Leonard Fournette dealing with his own hamstring injury, but the Bears gave a little bit of a blueprint. You can still run the football against the interior of Green Bay. It'll open up some things in the play-action game. Meanwhile, on the other side, Tampa defensively has been outstanding. You look at some of the numbers that they've put forth through the first two games, and I think Green Bay is going to struggle to move the football quite a bit. To your point, you look at a total this low with quarterbacks that have this pedigree and you figure the only way to go is over. I wouldn't go under, but I'm not running to bet it over because I think it could take 21 points to win. And I will tell you, one of the sharpest moves we saw early in the week is those injury start amount for Tampa came in on Green Bay. Professional bettors got out ahead of it. They took the 3. They'll, of course, have had plenty of options if these players aren't available for Tampa, and there would be a realistic chance that Green Bay could close a short road favorite.
Give us a couple of best bets before we let you go, Todd.
So we'll go to one in the NFL, and it's an ugly duckling. You guys know what I love to do in terms of divisional home dogs like you, Carm. I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers. Shop around for a 3. There are plenty available. New Orleans just hasn't been able to generate pressure, and Baker Mayfield has been blitzed relentlessly through his first two games. I think this is one where, yes, it's a tough defense to navigate against, but the back injury for Jameis Winston, a lot bigger deal than what's being let on as you saw him spray the ball around in the second half. College football on Saturday, it's a game about 12 people will watch, friends and family, between Tulane and Southern Miss. Sets up perfectly as a situational spot to bet the Golden Eagles. I really believe they'll have a chance to win this game outright. 13-point underdogs, they get Tulane at the perfect time.
Yeah.
And then if we're looking for a little bit of action as far as the total ranks are concerned, we'll go to Auburn, Missouri. Auburn going to go to their backup quarterback in Robbie Ashford. All signs point to Zach Calzada, the A&M transfer, having left the program. Ashford can't really throw it around a ton. Auburn's strength is still defensively, and I think this game will be competitive with the first team to 24. So I'll go under 52 between Auburn and Missouri.
All right, great stuff, Todd. We appreciate it. At Todd Furman on Twitter, check out the Bet the Board podcast. It is great, free content for everybody to help with their handicap for college and pro. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
See you, Bill. There's Todd Furman. All right, we've got to take a break. Oh, by the way, who was our qualifier, Merck? Should we give a shout-out to – I heard we played Matthew McConaughey. Who qualified for the Dallas trip?
Carm, that qualifier – let me get to my
sorry to catch you off guard,
emails. Is Sean Burns from Aurora.
Sean Burns from Aurora. All right, he was caller 10. He qualifies the White Claw trip that we're doing down to Big D. See the boys take on our beloved coming up at the end of October. So congrats to Sean. And then I'm going to be out in Palatine tomorrow giving you a chance to qualify at 3 great bars. Only 2 winners. That's it. Only 2 people are going to win. And Yurko was out in Edison Park a couple weeks ago qualifying people. I'm going to do it in Palatine tomorrow at JL's, at TJ O'Brien's, and at Lamplighter between 5 and 7 in Palatine. What a way on a Friday to come grab a few White Claws to get the night going and try to qualify to win the trip with us. And then Black and Abdallah will be cruising through Wrigleyville on Sunday watching football and qualifying people. They are going to be at Deuces, they're going to be at Old Crow, and they are going to be at Sluggers. That's with Bleck and Abdallah on Sunday between noon and 2. It's Carmen and Yurko. We are live at Cork and Carry. Coming right back. This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, don't forget to donate, support Cap, support Bernie's Book Bank, and thanks to Aurelio's, during our power hours here, they have decided all the way up until 2, so you got some time left here, a few more minutes. They're going to match any gift made during our show up to $10,000. Just fantastic. Thank you to Joe and the Aurelio family and everybody at Aurelio's. Really nice gesture, nice touch, a great partner of ours, and we appreciate that. So Cap's on hold. I'm guessing 13 miles. Where are you guys? How many miles in?
So we're just walking up. Now we're a little over 13 miles in. Okay. We are just walking up to the corner of Belmont and Clark on our way back from Obvious Shirts and Wrigley back to Guaranteed Rate.
Very good. And then you are you guys?
So you've made the turn.
They made the turn. You made the turn for home. Absolutely.
We made the turn, so it'll end up being about 24 miles.
How? Oh, it's going to be 24 miles?
Yeah, close, 23 and a half. We hit a school.
Yeah, I was going to say, you went to a school, right?
Yes, it was amazing. See these kids all waiting outside with signs and trading books. Yeah, it was like Jed Hoyer and Rick Hahn were having trade discussions over books. It was really cool.
How the feet feel?
Feet are good, man. I'm wearing these Ons from Fleet Feet. I'm good, man.
Good.
Rocking.
Legs feel good?
Rolling.
Legs feel good?
Legs feel good, yeah. I got some CBD oil I put on my knees. I'm good.
Good, good. Beautiful day. You guys, it's like it couldn't be a more perfect day for a walk like this.
Tracy Butler knocked it out of the park again.
All right, we're all thinking you're throwing a strike tonight. Better be a strike, all right?
Well, not all, because Keith Williams is telling me I'm going to definitely bounce it in the dirt. So.
Oof, boy, the boss man not giving you much love. All right, well, most of us think you're throwing a strike. So we're supporting you, all right? Throw a strike.
I greatly appreciate it. By the way, Carm, you should know that last week I do the celebrity handicapping on YouTube, and the guest handicapper was one John Yurkovich.
How'd he do?
7-1 against the spread.
Damn, dude. I'm shocked.
I picked with Urlacher yesterday, and he said Yurko was 7-1. Tell him to start sending the picks out to Arizona, please.
I mean, really? My only loss to Illinois State.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't know. You had that one right.
Yeah. Yeah, they beat Eastern
Illinois. The only game you
lost
was the beloved Bear. You had them beating Green Bay.
What a shame.
You did?
Yeah.
Beating them? Or just
no,
the
with 10. With
all right,
10.
Gotcha. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Absolutely.
All right, Cap, all right, good work. We'll see you later tonight.
Yeah, we're approaching 200K, so please, Aurelio's, thank you so much, Joe. Aurelio, the match until you get off the air. Yeah, we're approaching 200,000 right now.
Awesome. That's incredible. It really is. 200 grand. Good
I thought
work.
They're going to a bar called 200K.
No, thanks, Cappy.
Where the hell's 200K at? I've never been there.
It's really fantastic, and the guys have made the turn for home, coming back down to the south.
Carm, you can also text ESPN4Books to 44321, okay?
Say that again.
Text ESPN for the number 4 books to 44321 to support Beautiful. Bernie's Book Bank.
Thanks, Mark. All right, we're going to be right back. We're going to cross talk in 2 minutes with Waddle and Sylvie. Yurko's got the final word, brought to you.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
Couples now share their location with their other at all times.
At all times.
So, Carm, you can always see your girlfriend, your boyfriend, wherever you are. Jake has it turned on.
I have it turned on.
Oh, you and
you
when
do?
Did I do that?
Ever since when she got pregnant, yeah, it turned it on.
How are you guys going to cheat on your wives?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm...
hey.